Did you say I've got a lot to learn? Well, don't think I'm trying not to learn, since this is the perfect spot to learn. Teach me tonight.
The cabaret series of the Spog Little Theater at the Saratoga Performing Arts Center returns this summer. It will be their second season after a very successful opening year in 2011. Some of the biggest artists in the cabaret and Broadway worlds will be coming to SPAC to offer a series of the Great American Songbook. The stars include Steve Ross, the King of Cabaret, Bob Stillman, Broadway and concert stage star, and Weslow Whitfield, West Coast jazz and cabaret stateswoman. Brian Cassier is producing the series, which takes place at the Spog Little Theater in August. He joins us on the roundtable this morning. Brian, thank you very much for being with us. A great pleasure.
My pleasure to be here.
This all gets underway August 19th.
That's correct, 19th through the 28th, where starting with Steve Ross, he was so successful last year that we've decided to bring him back. And I consider Steve one of the summit leaders of the cabaret world now, so we couldn't see another season without him.
You think, okay, maybe people know that name, maybe they don't. But then you find out that he's going to do the music of Irving Berlin, and you think, all right, you got me.
Exactly. What we're sort of doing with all of these singers is sort of attaching them to a series program, whether it's Irving Berlin or we have Peggy Lee, which is what Wesley Whitfield's going to be focusing on. And Bob Stillman, we've sort of taken a little right-hand turn with that and decided to go into man's musical venture of love with many different artists being involved and composers.
What brought you to cabaret and bringing it to Saratoga?
Well, several parts of that equation. I grew up in Saratoga Springs in Niskayuna, and I've been involved in the cabaret world for 20-some years now with executive producer Peter Ligety out of New York. We've produced shows at the 92nd Street Y, the Algonquin in New York, the Copacabana in Rio de Janeiro, the Ritz in London. We've done this around the world. And I've performed at SPAC 20 years with different ventures at the Jazz Festival and with the Lake George Opera, which is now Opera Saratoga. I've been in the orchestra there for about 15 years.
You're a bassist?
I'm a bassist, yes. Yeah. And the one thing I noticed at SPAC was they sort of were missing a little bit of the high artistic world. They have the fantastic programs, the Philly Orchestra, New York City Ballet, the Opera, the Jazz Festival, all the pop and rock series, but they'd never had a standing calendar series of the Great American Songbook. So I approached Peter Ligety a couple of years ago with the idea, and he was excited about it. And Marcia White, we brought it up to Marcia at SPAC, and she was thrilled to bring the idea in, and we put it into play.
When you decide on, what did you learn from last year that you wanted to implement this year?
Well, last year we were a little cautious. We've worked with Steve in many venues, and he's always successful, so we sort of kept it a little small. And since it was so well received, we decided to expand it a little bit. We took a little bit of a right-hand turn with Weslow Whitfield focusing on Peggy Lee, which she's not just a singer. Peggy was an incredible songwriter. She wrote over 200 hit songs, but more of the jazzier edge of cabaret. Mm. And the same thing, we wanted to also bring in a younger folk rock crowd, which is what we're doing with Bob Stillman. I mean, Bob is a Broadway superstar. I met him on Grey Gardens. I was in the pit in the orchestra, and he was on stage with Christine Ebersole. And the minute I heard Bob, I heard something very special. And so what we decided for that little bit of a left-hand turn was to not only will Bob be singing Cole Porter and Arthur Schwartz, but he'll also be singing James Taylor and Bob Dylan and John Denver and making a little bit more of that folk rock turn to the Great American Songbook, because it didn't end in 1955. We have a Great American Songbook that continues today, and that's what we're trying to focus with Bob's show.
Yeah, so that songbook evolves, and it's interesting because maybe not everyone agrees with that.
I have
in the cabaret world.
In the cabaret world sometimes, but the way I focus on that is, especially with Bob, He is the type of person that can bring in that crowd that loves Cole Porter. He can sing night and day and bring the house down with it. But he can also sing a James Taylor song. And the interesting thing with Bob, the Broadway performer he is, you know, he's an actor and a composer, Juilliard-trained classical pianist. And he can sit there and bring in that older generation that loves that 20s, 30s, 40s Broadway songbook and have them say, wow, Fire and Rain by James Taylor, what a gorgeous song that was. And he can melt that pot together, which is very special.
Staying on that for just a moment, what is it in your mind, what does a good night of cabaret take? What are the ingredients?
It's intimacy. It's you can go to a 1,600-seat theater on Broadway and hear a revival of a George Gershwin show. That's fabulous. But what the cabaret world does is brings in that person-to-person contact. And even at the Spa Little Theater where we're doing the show, it's a very small and intimate theater. So even though it's not the Algonquin, you know, a 50-table room where you're having cocktails and dinner along with the show, it's a location that Mr. and Mrs. Smith sitting in row 9 can sit there and feel like they're one-on-one with the artist. And that's what we're really trying to convey with these shows.
And there is that intimacy and then, of course, the great music. And you're cultivating this audience.
Exactly. We are. And we're trying to entertain them as well. These shows are not just Wesla Whitfield singing her songs. They're also very well written and directed. They focus on a topic. I mean, with Wesla, we go into Peggy Lee and her history, and not only the song she sang that everyone knows, like Fever and I'm a Woman, but also that she was a songwriter. She wrote number one hit songs like It's a Good Day, I Don't Know Enough About You. Mañana was a number one hit she wrote with her husband David Barber in 1948. It was the biggest selling hit single for Capitol Records ever until the Beatles, and she wrote it. Mm. And people don't realize that. So on top of just the songs, we're trying to bring sort of an educational twist into these shows and an entertainment twist. I mean, Wesla was an opera singer in San Francisco Opera when she was younger, and Bob was an actor on stage. He was nominated for 2 Tony Awards. So it's acting, it's singing, it's laughing, it's storytelling. It's that intimacy where you're not going to necessarily get it with a stage plot.
Take Wesla for an example. Does she come up with that material as far as the life of Peggy Lee, or do you work on that with her, or how does that collaboration go?
We all work together. We came up with the idea of the show a couple of years ago, and mainly focusing on some of her compositions as well, Lee's that is, and Wesla with her husband Mike Greensill, who's going to be with her at Spec this summer. He's a very accomplished jazz pianist and accompanist. And they sort of wrote the script together and laid out, it's a little storytelling set in a certain theater back in 1963 when Peggy was singing in New York in the middle of a blizzard. And, you know, it's kind of a storytelling at a certain time in Peggy's life, too, which is nice. And Wesla wrote a lot of that script.
Hmm. How much does she sound like Peggy Lee?
That's the key. We don't try to impersonate people.
Right.
That's something I really don't like. Peggy Lee is Peggy Lee, and no one's going to ever be her again. What we're trying to do is just bring out the great songs that, one, she either made famous by someone else, or two, that she wrote herself. We're never trying to sound like someone. Peggy may have done a song that was in a very fast tempo, an upbeat type of thing. We might turn it around and make it a ballad, you know, just to make sure we're not completely trying to impersonate her.
When you start off on August 19th, and then you run weekends pretty much, right? Is that how it goes?
No, it's scattered. We have Saturday, Sunday shows. We have some Tuesday night shows, some mid-afternoon shows in the week. We're trying to incorporate all the audiences in Saratoga, especially during that busy track time. And, you know, a lot of people just like matinees. So every show has a matinee and every show has an evening performance. And we're really focusing this year. We added a 7th show on Travers Night because we decided that with Wesla Whitfield, actually, and really to focus on that Saratoga crowd. It's such a popular show and selling so well that we're adding a 3rd.
So you have a part of the Traverse celebration.
That's part of it too, yes.
Excellent. Cabaret is back at the Spot Little Theater at the Saratoga Performing Arts Center, and the easiest place to find information is SPAC.org. SPAC.org. You can also find out more information by calling SPAC at 518-587-3330. 518-587-3330. Cabaret at SPAC, live from the Algonquin. And food, too, we should mention.
Yes.
Pre-show dining?
Yes, we're partnering with the Gideon Putnam Hotel and the restaurant, and there's a special discount with the shows for a pre-show dining. And in Traverse Night, we're going to have a little post-show meet and greet with the artists and cordials. It'll be a lot of fun for that evening.
It's the Peggy Lee Songbook, The Songs of Irving Berlin, and A Man's Musical Guide to Love. Cabaret at SPAC, live from the Algonquin. Again, SPAC.org for more information. Brian, I thank you very much for sharing with us. I wish you all the luck in the world and have a wonderful season.
Thank you, and a pleasure being here.
Great pleasure. Again, Cabaret at SPAC, live from the Algonquin. Go to SPAC.org for more information. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.